We're doing Gemara Makos, we're up to Hey Amid Aleph. We had seen that we divide among the Edom Zomim in the monetary obligations, but the lashes, they each get a full serving of. So the Gemara now asks me, Nahani Mili, how do you know each one gets his full serving of lashes? Amar Abaye Shenema Nema Rasha Bechayvei Malkot. ונאמר רשע בחייבי מיטות בית דין מלאלן אין מיטה למחצף כאן אין מלכות למחצף. It says the term rasha, when a person gets lashes, כדי רשעתו במספר וירשיעו את הרשע. It says the word rasha when it comes to the death penalty, אשר הוא רשע למות. So we do gzer shava. It says the word im bin hakota rasha, the word rasha by lashes, and by the death penalty. Just like the death penalty, you don't do half, right? If they wanted to give him the death penalty, they each get the death penalty. You can't half kill him. So too, you don't give half the lashes. You do complete lashes. Do complete lashes. Okay, this idea of half a death penalty seems like a play on words, but you will find elsewhere the Gemara discusses mali kotla palga, mali kotla kula. Familiar with that Gemara? Okay, there is a concept in the Gemara that that there can be actions that are harmful to a person's health, and that could be considered like half killing him, harming him, half killing him, whatever. So this is a term that shows up in a few places. Rav Amar Binan Kasher Zaman Nasot LaAchiv VeLeka. We have to pay him back what he wanted to give his brother. He wanted to make his brother get 40 lashes, so he has to get 40 lashes. The Gemara says, wait a second, so then why don't you say the same thing about the money? You wanted to make him lose 1,000 shekel, you have to lose 1,000 shekel. Why don't you say that? The Gemara says, Mamon mitztaref, Malkot lo mitztaref. So that's an interesting answer. The Gemara says, money adds up and lashes don't add up. What does that mean? So Rashi tells us, Mamon mitztaref, arei kibel ma sherutzu lafsido ben kulam. In total, he received what they tried to make him lose. Yeah. So it seems that Vasitem lo kasher zaman lasot la'achiv is an idea that he has to get it. Meaning, we discussed earlier the idea that kasher zaman is a tax, where the Torah was focused on they have to pay it. And now we see from the Gemara that there's an idea that he has to receive it. And if he receives a total amount, so then for whatever reason, that's considered we did kasher zaman. If they only got half the lashes, then they didn't get kasher zaman. If they totaled and paid back what they wanted to make him lose, so then we do fulfill kasher zaman.
And it sounds like the Gemara's kasher. The Mars Makshal on the answer that Rava gives.
I'm not following what you're saying.
The Gemara is asking, why are you saying that for Makot you have to get everything that you were that was supposed to go to the other guy, and money not?
So the Gemara is saying that with regards to lashes, they have to receive whatever they were going to administer, and with regards to money, he has to receive whatever they were going to administer. That's how Rashi seems to be learning. that if he gets the full payment, that's called that justice was served. That's called that asit mo kasher zama. But on the lashes, I guess I would venture, but it doesn't say this in Rashi, he's not getting anything out of their getting lashes. It's just an issue of their, but it doesn't say that. It says that money can combine and lashes can't combine. Rashi says it combines and he got what he was supposed to get. And then lashes, that doesn't combine because he doesn't get what he's supposed to get. So then I would venture to say that lashes, the issue is they should be punished what they wanted to administer. And in money, there's an aspect that he has to get what they wanted to administer. But okay, that's a big chiddush. You know. So. Witnesses don't become Eidin Zomimin until they themselves become Zomimin. Ketzad, now the Gemara is going to define. The Mishnah is going to define. They say, we testify about Jack that he killed Jill. The second set of witnesses come in and say, how could you testify? Jill was with us on that day. Couldn't have been murdered on that day. Jack was with us on that day. In a different place. So that's not Eidim Zomimin. But if they tell them, how could you testify? You, the witnesses, were with us on that day somewhere else. So then those are Eidim Zomimin, and they get the death penalty based on that testimony. What happens if the first group comes and says, this is what happened? Second group comes and says, you were with us. Third group comes and says, group number two, you were with us. And so on. What happens if second set of witnesses comes in, again, witness A, group A says, we saw it happen. Group B comes and says, you're with us somewhere else. Okay? Group C comes in and says, we saw it happen. Group B comes back and says, well, you were also with us somewhere else. You didn't see it happen. And this keeps happening again and again. Even if there are many groups, and there's only one group, there's only this group B that keeps saying, well, you were with us somewhere else. Tana Kama holds, we'll kill them all. They're all Eidim Zomimin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Stati Tizo. Rabbi Yehuda says, this is a conspiracy. This group B, Istatis, they are conspirators. They are off the path of honesty. They decided that anyone that comes and testify, they're going to make them into Eidim Zomimin. We will only execute the first group. We won't execute the second group. They say, you were with us. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Okay, so this Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to have to wait till the end of the page to understand what he's saying. But now the Gemara is saying, where do we get this idea from that Eidim Zomimin have to become they themselves? The witnesses have to become Eidim Zomimin. Where does that come from? Amal vida damalka vine chikra. When the Torah describes that the witnesses become Eidim Zomimin, the Torah says, "Vihine eid sheker ha'ed." Behold, the witness became a false witness. So what we understand from that is that what has to become false here is the witnesses themselves. You have to testify they were somewhere else. Not that the murderer or the man who was murdered was somewhere else. Deber Rabbi Yishmael Tana. Notice sometimes it says Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael. Sometimes it says Deber Rabbi Yishmael Tana. Ordinarily when it says Deber Rabbi Yishmael Tana, that means that it is not going to be paskened. Ordinarily that's a rule, that Deber Rabbi Yishmael Tana is not halacha. La'anot bo sarah. The Torah describes the witnesses come here to testify falsely. La'anot, to testify bo, against this person. Sarah, were clouds that are really removed from reality. What does it mean, removed? What does that mean? Why is it described as removed testimony? Ad shetisra gufa shel edut. Edim zomim in the Torah is telling you is that they were removed from the location. How do I know they have to have been removed from the location? Because the Torah describes it as sarah. Sarah means removed. We understand that to mean the essence, the embodiment of the testimony, meaning the witnesses themselves have to have been removed. That's what the second pair have to come and say. You two were with us at the time that you testified you saw the crime. Amarava Rava said, Baushnaim Amu Bimizrach Birag Pronita Nefesh. If two witnesses come in and say, on the eastern, what's it called? The palace is divided to, there's the eastern wing. And the eastern wing has Reuven murdered. And then two witnesses come in and say, you two witnesses, you first pair, you were with us at the western wing. Chazinan. So then we check, we look. If when they're standing in the west of the castle, they could see what's happening in the east of the castle, then they're not false witnesses. But if they couldn't have seen it from where they were, then they are with Zomimin. Pshita, the Gemara says, isn't that obvious? I would think maybe we should be concerned that maybe they have excellent eyesight, unusually good eyesight, and they could see far a far greater distance than we could see. That's what we say. No, we check with our eyesight. Assuming we're normal people, we check with our eyesight. If we can't see it, we assume they can't see it. If they'll walk in and say, ah, but we have better eyesight than you, that's a different story. But we don't assume that. Off the bat, we assume that their eyesight is like ours.
If they wanted to, they could ask to prove that they have better eyesight?
It would seem that way. I think that some of their Rishonim say that, yeah. I have in mind that. No, we don't make that claim on their behalf. They have to make that claim. That's what I remember. It doesn't say it here in Rashi, but that's what I remember. That we don't initiate it, but if they would want to make the claim, they could. And Rava taught us another thing. If two witnesses come in and say in Surah in the morning on Sunday, one day into the week, so and so murdered, so the first pair of witnesses say it was Sunday morning when the murder happened, and the second set of witnesses say, yeah, but Sunday night you were with us out in Naharda, totally different city, out in Babylon. We check. If they could have made that journey from morning till night, so then they're not Edom Zomim. V'ilav Abu Zomimin. And if not, and if they couldn't have made that journey, then they are Edom Zomimin. Even though, technically, the Edom HaMezimin, this is a big Kiddush. They didn't testify about that hour. They testified about another hour. And by default, we know they couldn't have been there. So this is a bigger Kiddush. The Gemara still says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Answers the Gemara, Ma'udetema lechush legam la palcha. I would think that I should suspect maybe they got flying camels. Maybe they got camels that go so swiftly like birds that fly. Maybe, you know, you checked normal means of transportation. Maybe they had a jumbo jet. You know, maybe they were able to do it. What do they call those airplanes that go very quickly? Quicker than the speed of light? Concorde, right. Maybe they had a Concorde jet, so they made it across the world in such a short time. So the Gemara says, no, I don't initiate such a claim. I say, if I couldn't do it, they couldn't do it. If they want to make claims otherwise, let them figure out their claims. Kamash Malan, that's the big Chiddush here. V'amar Rava. If two witnesses come in and say, on Sunday, so-and-so murdered, two other witnesses come in and say, Sunday, you were with us. But on Monday, he killed. Not only that, even if they say, on Friday, he killed, meaning by the time you claim you saw it, he was a dead man, because he had already killed, he already deserved the death penalty. Even so, Neragin, nonetheless, they demzomimin that testified, they get the death penalty. The Be'idna, the Kamasidi, Gavalav Bal Katlahu, because when they testified, he was not yet susceptible to the death penalty. He wasn't yet brought to court. There wasn't any witness testimony given. You're right. Technically, he deserved the death penalty. They're testifying about Jack. Jack killed on Friday. Second set of witnesses, they say Jack killed on Sunday. Second set of witnesses come in and say, no, no, no. Sunday you were with us. You didn't see that. But Jack did kill on Friday. Now, technically we have a rule. If a person's a dead man, you have a person that's so mortally wounded, he's going to die within a year. And in comes a murderer, slices off his head. So we say, okay, but he killed a dead man. So if we would have considered Jack a dead man because Jack murdered on Friday, then we wouldn't give him the death penalty for testifying he killed on Sunday. But being that Jack's murder of Friday was not yet brought before a court, so then even though technically, halachically, spiritually, Jack deserved the death penalty, practically that wasn't brought to fruition. So until the courts really rule, until they verify that Jack murdered and deserves the death penalty, even though he should get it for a crime he committed earlier, he's not yet a dead man. So then, they testified on Sunday, he wasn't yet a dead man. If they would have testified after the courts verified that he murdered, and the courts say, okay, you're going to get the death penalty, Jack, and afterwards they come in and say, wait, Jack also killed on Sunday, and then they become Edom Zomimin, so then you'd say, okay, they killed the dead man. They don't get the death penalty for that. So here, that's the second chiddush. Even if the second set of witnesses say, you know what, he killed on Friday, nonetheless, the first set of witnesses get the death penalty. The Be'idna de Kamasidi, because at the time that they testify, Gavra lav Baktala hu, that man was not susceptible to the death penalty. My Kamashman Antonina, the Gemara says, what's the big chiddush? Isn't that a Mishnah? The Mishnah is going to tell us on Daf Vav Amud Beis that sometimes you have two pairs of witnesses, two sets of witnesses. Everyone comes in and says, Al Capone killed Sunday morning. So out of these pairs of witnesses, one pair was found truthful. So they're preparing Al Capone for the electric chair. The second pair was found to be Edom Zomimin. So the Mishnah says, well, you'll have an interesting scenario. Al Capone and the second pair will both get the death penalty. They're all going to hang together. So what do you see from that? That this pair can't claim, well, Al Capone was a dead man. We testified about a dead man. So what did I need Rava to tell me this for? I see it from the Mishnah. Again, Maika Mashmalan, what's he teaching me, Tanina? I already learned that in the Mishnah, Lefichach min tzetachan men zomimit, huve neragin vashniya p'tura. Answers the Gemara, Seifa mashenken migmar din etztichale. You're right. What he said was necessary for his conclusive statement. What does he end off with? He says, but if there was already a verdict, so then he is considered a dead man, and then they wouldn't get the death penalty just because they testified falsely about him. He already has a death penalty hanging on his head because of other witnesses. So then they don't get the death penalty over that. Then he is considered a dead man.
Why is he, in this case, considered a dead man?
Because in this case, there's been a conclusive decision by the court. If there's a gemar din, if the court's decided already to give him the death penalty. So then now I say, if they come in and testify a new testimony about him, they're testifying about a dead man, meaning he's on death row already. So then I don't give him the death penalty for that. Whereas in the other cases, it wasn't yet decided. It's true, ultimately we will decide that retroactively he was a murderer and he deserved the death penalty, but when they testified, that was not the case, and as such they'll get the death penalty. Guys, we're getting more and more complicated as we go along. Are we focused? Next case. So what did we see so far? That the fact that he committed a crime before they testified does not make him a dead man. But if the courts would decide to give him the death penalty, then he is considered a dead man. So far, so good? Okay. Next case. You see how we're building up? Bau shnayim v'amru. Two witnesses came in and said, "Bechad b'Shabbata nigmar dino shel ploni." They say on Sunday the courts concluded that Jack should get the death penalty. So they're not saying he murdered. They're saying we were with Jack out in Algeria. The courts convened and the courts ruled that he gets the death penalty. And this happened on Sunday. Now he's here, he fled, he came to Israel. So we're bringing him before the courts. You have to give him the death penalty. The courts already ruled in Algeria on Sunday. In walk in a second set of witnesses and say, Sunday you weren't in Algeria. Sunday you were with Alice out in Sfat. But you know what? On Friday, the courts actually did rule that Jack deserves the death penalty. So on Friday it happened.
Well, why is the tomb of the double claim?
They're saying, you're right, Jack gets the death penalty, but you didn't see it. You're liars. You're Edim Zomim.
So why did they have to say that they were with us in order to make them a Edim
Zomim? Right. They're saying, you were with us, you're Edim Zomimim. But he actually was committed to the death penalty on Friday, 2 days earlier. So that's obvious that the Edim Zomimim were testifying about a dead man. They're not going to get the death penalty. Ve'lo'od, the Brisa continues and says, but I'll tell you even better. El afilo amu bitrei b'Shabbat anigmar dino shel ploni. Even if they say, you know what, on Sunday you were with us, but on Monday, the very next day, the courts ruled that he should get the death penalty. But when did they testify in court? On Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday. So by the time they came to court and testified, even though they're testifying about Sunday, but on Monday he already became a dead man. So when they're testifying their testimony at the end of the week, then they're testifying about a dead man. So then even though he only became a dead man after they claim he became a dead man, so long as it is before the testimony, they don't get the death penalty. Guys, if you tap over here on the roll, comes up on the recorder. Okay. Because when they testified, he was already a dead man. The same is true with regards to paying a tax. If two witnesses come in and say, on Sunday, Jack stole a sheep and slaughtered it or sold it. So now he has to pay the principal sheep and he has to pay another tax, right? He has to pay four times the sheep. So then, so that added payment is a tax, right? So they testify he owes the principal, he stole the sheep, and then he owes the tax. So then, then two witnesses come in and they say, on Sunday you were with us, but on Monday He stole that sheep and he slaughtered it or sold it. Mishalmin. So in such a scenario, the witnesses have to pay. And even if they say on Friday, really he did it on Friday and he owes it, even so, they have to pay. Why do they have to pay? Because even though he committed the crime, he was not yet brought to justice. So they were going to make him pay money that he didn't know. So, yeah, money that he, not that he didn't know, spiritually he owed it. But technically the courts didn't rule on it yet. So even though they're right, he already committed the crime. They're testifying about Sunday. And the crime really happened on Friday. So he owes the money. But he doesn't yet owe it because the courts didn't rule on it.
All right, this principle of bar tashlumin is applying now to mamon?
Right, because the man is not bar tashlumin. So he doesn't owe the money yet.
This applies to everything.
I don't know. If two witnesses come in and say on Sunday he stole and slaughtered or sold, then nigmar dino, and the courts ruled that he has to pay. Then the second set of witnesses comes in and says, on Sunday you were with us, but on Friday he stole, slaughtered or sold it, and the courts ruled on it. Even if they say on Monday the courts came to a ruling, being that the witnesses came to court after it was already ruled upon that he owes the money, ain mishalmin, they don't have to pay. Because at the time that they testified, he already really owed the money. Yeah? Okay. So, Rashi says, a line before the lines get wide, Upeirusho, Mishum dehave matzi lemifter nafshei. How does this work, says Rashi? Because they could excuse themselves because he could have excused himself behoda'ah, by admitting to the crime. Before a person is brought to court, we have a rule with regards to a knas, that a person can admit to the crime before he is brought to court. And then ishtakach deinu avu mafsidilei, then it turns out that they were the ones making him pay the money. Vedav kaknas, and that's only true with regards to the tax. Aval beidut mamon pturim, sharei lo mafsidin to klum, achar shu mechuyav ve'omed. Rashi says a big chiddush, being that the principal, he would have had to pay anyways, he really did steal that sheep, so then that, they don't have to pay back.
So it's not like,
right. Right.
Especially because he's able to be sure.
Right. So once the courts rule, he couldn't have admitted to the tax. We have a klal modeh biknas patur. If a person admits that he owes a tax, he is absolved from paying that tax. But that's only true if he admits before the courts rule on it. In this case, he is not absolved. Okay, you have got to move onward. Next case, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Statitizo. Rabbi Yehuda says, this is a conspiracy. This is a group that has veered off the path of honesty. This pair of witnesses that always testify about everyone that they were with them. So now, that doesn't really work, because what does Rabbi Yehuda say? It's a conspiracy, you'll only execute the first pair. Why? If it's a conspiracy, you don't execute anyone. You're telling me the second pair is lying. You see, they're saying, you were with us, and you were with us too, and you were with us too. Okay, so then why execute anyone? So then you shouldn't kill the first group either. Our mission is talking about a scenario where we killed them based on the testimony of the second group, and only afterwards did we catch on that they're going to do this to every group that comes. So the Gemara says, really? you already killed him. So then, might they have a hava? So whatever happened, happened. Why does the Mishnah have to talk to me about it? What does Rav Yehuda have to talk about it? You tell me stories? If it happened, it happened. Okay, it happened. What are you talking about? Ela, but says the Gemara, there's another understanding here. Amar Rava, Hachikamar. Hachikamar means I will modify the Mishnah slightly here. I'll explain that what it means is if it only happened once, I'll kill him. And if not, once it's more than one, then I don't kill him. That's interesting. So once the same group says twice they were with us, so then I no longer kill anyone. Meaning, I can understand that to a degree because the Mishnah gave a scenario where it happened over and over and over again. So when do I start saying there's a conspiracy going on? From the Mishnah, I wouldn't know. Because the Mishnah says, even if it happened 100 times, Tanna Kamma says, I listened to that group. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and says it's a conspiracy. When does it become a conspiracy? So but that, I have to say, I would only kill based upon the, or if they did it once. Once they do it a second time, I'm already not so confident.
So the Mishnah is coming to tell us when it becomes a conspiracy?
Yeah, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
By saying that.
So the Gemara says, wait, but that answer doesn't work. You're interpreting what Rabbi Yehuda says as, I'll only kill him if there's only one. But that's not what it says. Rabbi Yehuda says, you only kill the first one. What do you mean, only kill? Only kill seems to indicate there are more you would have thought to kill, but you're not going to. So you can't say, what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say is, you only kill if there only was one. That's not what it says. Kasha, the Gemara says, okay, you have a point, that's a question. Okay. Next story. Hayitita. There was a woman. Datai sahadi vishtaku. She brought witnesses, and when the court cross-examined them, they contradicted one another. They were found to be liars. Aiti Sahadi, she brought another set of witnesses. Mishtaku, again, they were found to be liars. Azla Aiti Sahadi Achini, Tiloishtaku. So then she went and found another pair of witnesses, and they were not found to be liars. They couldn't catch them. Amar Rish Lakish Usikazo. Rish Lakish says, I'm sorry. She's already proven herself that she summons liars. And so I'm not going to listen to any witnesses she brings in. Now that's very interesting. Because ordinarily when it comes to chazaka, we say you need 3 times or 2 times for a chazaka. Machlokas, right? When it comes to issues that are life-threatening, you're not sure if something's genetic. You say after twice, I'm worried that it's genetic. The Gemara says, if a woman, God forbid, had 2 children that died because of a circumcision, we don't wait for the third. Sometimes you say chazaka after 2 times. It's a machlokas, whether after 2 or 3. So when it comes to issues that are life-threatening, we go with the opinion of 2. When it comes to other issues, we go with 3. So here, Reish Lakish says, the woman got a chazaka to summon liars. Amar Rabbi Elazar, im hiuchzaka kol Yisrael muhzuku. Rabbi Elazar asked him, well, how do you do that? I understand that she, you don't trust her. But the witnesses, they're all new. So now you won't trust anyone just because she brought them? Now you're going to say, everyone's disqualified. Zimni naviyat v'kamid Rav Yochanan. It happened, they were sitting before Rav Yochanan. Ata ke'ama se lekamayu. This case happened. A woman brought in a first pair, they were caught to be liars. Second pair, caught to be liars. Third pair, they couldn't catch them. Amar Reish Lakish ulsekazo. Reish Lakish said, that's it, she's been proven, she brings liars. Amar Rav Yochanan ulsekazo kol Yisrael muhzeku. Rav Yochanan answered him, so what if she's a liar? That doesn't prove all her witnesses are liars. Each set is a new set. Hadal Chaziel Rabbi Elazar Bishut. Here Reish Lakish turned around, looked at Rabbi Elazar with an angry face, because now Reish Lakish understood that Rabbi Elazar had learned it from Rabbi Yochanan. And when Rabbi Elazar made the claim against Reish Lakish, he didn't say, well, the Rebbe said. He made believe it was his own claim. So Rabbi Reish Lakish turned back and looked at him all upset. You heard things from Barnafcha, from the blacksmith. You didn't tell me in his name. And Now the Gemara explores what happened there. Notice that Rabbi Elazar was the student who took Reish Lakish's place. When Reish Lakish passed away, Rabbi Elazar became the prime disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing in the machlokas of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. But Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm scared for a conspiracy. And Rabbanan say, no, I keep trusting them. Reish Lakish says, no, I think even the rabbis would agree with me. Our Mishnah is talking about a scenario where the witnesses walk in voluntarily. No one's bringing them in. But here, she is walking around looking to bring him in. So if you have someone that's summoning in the witnesses, I have to worry that she's looking to hire liars to testify in her behalf. Rabbi Yochanan Amalach, and Rabbi Yochanan would say the exact opposite. I believe even Rabbi Yehuda would agree with me. When does Rabbi Yehuda say, I'm scared for a conspiracy because I say, hey, this Jack and Jill over here, these witnesses that keep saying, you were with us, you were also with us, they were also with us. So then Rabbi Yehuda says, this looks like a conspiracy. What's going on here? Everyone was with you. That doesn't make sense. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't trust them. But over here, so the first pair and the second pair, they didn't know testimony. But the third pair, they did know the testimony. You have no proof that they're liars. The fact that the first two sets were liars, you have no reason that that should indicate the third set is liars. You don't know. So believe them. You have no reason to doubt their testimony. In the case of the Mishnah, I have every reason to doubt their testimony because they're saying everyone was with them. That doesn't make sense. Here, I have no doubt about them. I have a question. How come her first two sets of witnesses were liars? Okay, I have a question. But that doesn't make them liars. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan says even Rabbi Yehuda would agree with my position.